whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, let's ride. Inside the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Opened up talking about the Mets and the Jets as far as Pete Alonso's potential departure tonight, waiting on that news to break. Might not happen tonight, though, as the saga continues. It's been 2 weeks here of thinking, is he going to sign with the Mets? What's the offer? Is he going to go elsewhere? The Mets kind of pivoted, and now we wait for that. And, you know, the last couple weeks we've been circling in on the Jets head coach hire. And, man, I love that it's Aaron Glenn. You got to love the fact that this guy did not go to New Orleans. I don't care about the snow. The snow did not stop incoming flights to New Orleans. You can say, oh, it was snow, but he knew where he wanted to be. He could have got to Dallas. He canceled on Jerry Jones in Dallas as well. In Dallas, they're fools. Giants fans, you got to feel good about that, especially with the NFC Championship coming up this weekend and the thought that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, Saquon Barkley and the Eagles, they're not going anywhere for a little while. Well, the Cowboys probably are going backwards. They fire Mike McCarthy after holding him up. Well, they didn't fire him. His contract expired. But they still held him up so that, I don't know, they held themselves up. So stupid. They held him up from talking to other teams, and they also stopped themselves from, I don't know, interviewing Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn during that bye week period. Jerry Jones, masterclass. Big D, big disaster waiting to happen. Big disappointment every year. America's team to laugh at. Anyway, Brian Schottenheimer was the defense or offensive coordinator this year, but he didn't call the plays. The whole thing with Mike McCarthy in the last year of his contract was, well, he's a play caller. You got to see how he does as a play caller. Well, it's kind of tough to call plays when Dak gets hurt, when CeeDee Lamb missed all of camp, when you don't have a running game at all. You sign Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott. Rico Dowdle doesn't get going until like week 9. You use a fourth round pick that could have been Bucky Irving or Braylon Allen. You use that fourth round pick to get Trey Lance. You trade for Jonathan Mingo because you don't actually take it serious to have another threat at wide receiver next to CeeDee Lamb, one of the highest paid receivers in the league. So Brian Schottenheimer, are they just going off of the name? No. I think they're going to potentially hire from within because he's the type of guy that Jerry can control. He's the type of guy that's not going to inspire anyone. But there's more to it. As I keep my tabs on the Dallas Cowboys reporters on Twitter, Jerry wants his next head coach to be Jason Witten. And he can't just hire Jason Witten now. I think Jason Witten was coaching high school ball. But there's a rumor out there that Brian Schottenheimer wouldn't be opposed to listening to Jerry, here we go, and putting Jason Witten on his staff, maybe as the tight ends coach. And so we're just a year or two away from them firing Brian Schottenheimer and hiring Cowboys legend Jason Witten to be Jerry Jones' version of Dan Campbell. They're idiots. Jerry Jones is the worst. I froze my account. I may never unfreeze it. My son is like 2 seasons away from deciding what football team he wants to rock with. And man, I said I really didn't want to point him to East Rutherford just because I don't like the stadium and there's greener pastures, there's better places to go. But if Aaron Glenn turns around the Jets, maybe we could get jiggy with that. Oh, if the Giants land Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, 888-808-1019, maybe I could get into that. So Mike Borgonzi, who interviewed for the GM position with the Jets, coming from the Kansas City Chiefs, he's now taking that job with the Tennessee Titans. And I think if you follow the NFL, you all heard they're not going to pass on a generational talent. That was the word as he met the media. And I don't know what you think generational talent is. Tankathon seems to think generational talent is Shedeur Sanders going at number one. I think the generational talent at the top of the draft. I don't know. Is the guy they're calling the Ohtani of football? He's not. But a two-way player that just won the Heisman, doing something that we don't see in generations. A kid that can play corner, flip the field and play wide receiver and be dominant at both. Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is a guy that if the Tennessee Titans get him, they can figure out whether they want to play him at wide receiver full-time, whether they want to play him at nickel and wide receiver full-time, whether they want him to be a corner outside and just have some gadget, whatever you want to do. I just saw a video of this kid with Ant-Man, with Anthony Edwards. He's a big basketball fan, Travis Hunter. They're like the same size. Pause. These guys standing next to each other, I'm like, he looks like an NBA player. He's with Ant-Man. Ant-Man takes his shoes off. He's pumped. Go look up the videos of Travis Hunter playing basketball at Colorado, dunking the ball, crossing people up. He's a freak of nature athlete. That is the generational talent. But Art Stapleton just put out a video. If you don't know, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, the top two quarterbacks in this draft, they have the same quarterback coach. They train together in Dallas. And the video has them indoors at SMU's football facility. And they're warming up and they're doing their drills and they're having a laugh over who's the generational talent. And Cam Ward thinks it's him. And Shedeur thinks it's him. Go look at Art Stapleton's Twitter and go look at that. There is a world where the Titans take Travis Hunter. And then the Giants don't have to trade up. The Giants don't have to worry about anything. They'll take whatever quarterback the Browns do not take. And make no doubts about it. Tankathon, I think, has the Browns taking Abdul Carter. I don't expect that to happen. This is the NFL. Quarterbacks go early. Quarterbacks are, you know, a necessary commodity. If you listen to Ben Johnson the other day talk about quarterbacks are more important than turnover ratio, Ben Johnson took that job in Chicago because they have Caleb Williams. He said they're ripping the offense down to the studs. They're designing the offense around Caleb Williams and what he does well. It's time to complete the Holy Trinity. It is time for Shane and Dable to draft their quarterback. 888-808-1019. Well, my Giants fan that was on hold, I was going to go to, dropped off. We'll go to Devin in the Bronx instead, since I mentioned this name. You got it, Devin. Go for it.
Hey, how's it going, Keith? I'm a huge fan of you and your show. Great job.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about Shohei Ohtani and the Ipe Mizuharo scandal. So it seems like the New York Times just dropped a bombshell report showing audio of Ipe, and I was wondering if you heard that and if you had any thoughts about that.
No, I didn't. I thought that we all had to pretend like this was done and the FBI closed the case and they were investigated. And no, I got to go look up this right now because I was on that last year.
Yeah, it is incredible. He, you know, very conveniently states that he's Shohei Ohtani and, like, provides codes, text messages. It's really crazy. You got to take a look.
Oh, wow. I see. Who am I speaking with? A bank agent ass? Shohei Ohtani. That's crazy. I still think Ohtani knew something of it.
I don't know. But I think that
he can't be that dumb. I just don't think you could be right next to somebody all day, every day. That's literally stealing millions of dollars from you. How?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, but that audio, like, he sounded, I listened to it after I got a class, and he sounded very, like, nervous. Like, he was scared, so I don't know.
Yeah, because you might go to jail for that. That's fraud. thanks for the call, Devin. Now I got to get that audio. We got to play that. Alex, I'm going to send you this. I'll email it to you. Listen to it, and we'll see if we can play it. 888-808-1019. The last time we were talking about Ohtani was in regards to Roki Sasaki. And I remember being on the Fan during the winter meetings and playing the audio of Joel Wolf, Yamamoto's agent, Giancarlo Stanton's agent. Joel Wolf held court at the winter meetings and said, you know, Sasaki doesn't want to be around verbose. Was that the word? Verbose personalities. And he doesn't want to be in a big media market. And that was all a dog and pony show. That was all nonsense. I just read an article the other day. They were saying that the Dodgers have been on Roki Sasaki since he was in high school. So why'd you give everybody the runaround? They are crooked over there, man. And the last time we mentioned Ohtani, and I had a caller that just had a mic drop call. He's like, Keith, if Roki Sasaki wants to go to any market, right, and hide, he would go to the L.A. market. They were able to hide Shohei Ohtani's involvement in the gambling scandal. They swept that right under the rug. I'm like, you're onto something, man. You're onto something. If he wants to hide, if he's got something going on that he doesn't want known about, if he wants to duck the cameras, or I'm sure they'll figure it out. 888-808-1019. I think I was the first one on the Fan that night that Sasaki signed. I said, Mets fans, Yankee fans, we have a common bond. Enough of the back and forth on Juan Soto. Enough of the back and forth on big brother, little brother. Enough of the back and forth on the ownership, on the fans, on this, that, and the other. We have the same enemy. If we want to see a World Series parade in this city anytime soon, because it's been a hell of a drought on both sides. If we want to see a World Series parade in New York City anytime soon, there's a good chance that one or both of us have to go through the Dodgers. Jamie is in Brone, New Jersey. Where's Brone? B-R-O-N-E.
Verona. Verona, New Jersey.
Okay, so Alex just spelled it wrong. Verona, New Jersey. What's up, man?
Listen, Keith, I got another scandal I want you to look into because you mentioned it before. You brought up Rizzo, and the first thing you said, or one of the things you said, was that he didn't cover first base. And it bothers me so much that Gerrit Cole is getting a pass. I listen to this station all the time. No one's ever talking about the fact that in Little League, the first thing they teach pitchers is to cover first base on a ground ball. And the fact that this guy gets a pass, where if he covers first base, that whole inning is erased. And we end the inning up 5-0.
Jamie, I was in there. I had a good view of it. I don't know if he's beating Mookie Betts. I don't know if he's...
Watch it again, and again. He never even breaks. He casually...
Also,
he thinks his day is done, and
he should have hauled ass. It's the World Series.
He's got to get the first.
You're 100% right? That he should have at least make it a bang bang play. Make them have to look at it. Yes.
Come on.
But I don't know if he beats Mookie Betts.
And then on the post game, when his explanation was that he was trying to make a play on the ball, he was never trying to make a play.
No, that ball was a screwball.
There was no play on that ball. He's got to stop getting a pass. Got to stop blaming Rizzo.
Rizzo's got to blame Rizzo because that was Rizzo's MO all year. Rizzo never wants to run the first.
Right, but he's fielding that ball. It's an unbelievably awful inning. He's making the play. He's looking up the flip
to the pitcher who's supposed to be there,
and the pitcher's not even in the zip code.
I understand.
Thanks
for the call, Jamie. You're bringing up old stuff. You're making me feel terrible. Like that was one of the worst days of my life. I hate to be so dramatic about sports, but that was a living nightmare. I've told the story on the Fan too many times. I was breaking into a sweat. I was head and hands in Yankee Stadium. When Judge dropped that ball, people around me started chanting MVP. I'm like, are you guys that drunk? Now is not the time to chant MVP. That's not an MVP move. That's disaster. This is going to be a rough inning. Cole was grooving, cruising. I can't be mad at Gerrit Cole as much as everyone around him. They got to pick him up. They got to bail him out. Cole struck out Muncy. He struck out Ohtani. They got to make the plays for him. So, yeah, I can't. I'll never, I'll be an old man when that memory fades. And it won't because I've gone back and watched it. I have it burned into my retinas, my view from section 133 in Yankee Stadium, where I did not watch the whole game. I just went there for the fifth inning. It makes me sick. I'm getting nauseous now thinking about what could have been. Rizzo should have been running to that base, but Rizzo never does. Rizzo had a rough year at first. You guys remember? There were so many times in the season where I'm like, what the hell is wrong with Anthony Rizzo? He can't field his position anymore. Is he still concussed? I'm not joking around about the concussion, but like, I'm like, what is up with him? It's the World Series, bro. It's the World Series, and it's not a scandal. Cole, yes, should have at least made a better effort, but from what it looked like from my vantage point, sitting behind the wall, just five rows back in left field, it looked like Cole thought, finally, we got it. I got him to ground out to first. And this is Mookie Betts. Hello. He's fast. I don't know, man. It sucks. That was one of the highest of highs I ever felt in Yankee Stadium, and then the absolute lowest of lows. 888-808-1019. Andy is down in Miami. Let's talk about something else, Andy.
What's up, brother? Man, listen, I don't know. We're talking about that fifth inning, because I don't want to remember that fifth inning, bro. I don't want to remember that fifth inning. I don't even want to remember Soto in a Yankee uniform. But that's not what
I blamed it on Soto. You know how that inning started? Soto was the first Yankee to touch the ball. That Kike Hernandez hit the ball to right field. His negative mojo touched that ball because you know what? In his mind, he had his speech prepared. He had his Boris Korp speech prepared. Oh, I'm available to all 30 teams. He knew if they lost that game, he was 1 foot out the door and closer to the money.
And the worst part is, bro, he's de lo mio. Like, we both Dominican, but, bro, I can't stand him now. Like, good riddance. But that's besides the point. Like, I really called for – so the Mets don't want to sign Alonso because he's heavy-footed, could only play first base, and only has power. But Vientos is the greatest thing since God knows what. Vientos can't run.
Swaggy
V. Can't feel.
They got a lot of belief in him now. I listened to this radio station two seasons ago, and I was told he can't hit, he can't field, he's nothing. So I don't know.
But you remember Andujar, right? In 18,
of course,
when he gave us that amazing year, and then thank God Cashman signed LeMahieu, and LeMahieu was able to pick up where Andujar was supposed to pick off on 18 to 19. But the Mets don't want to re-sign Alonso to give protection to Vientos and to give protection to Soto. So the Mets are just doing the same thing that they did from 15 to 16, re-signing Cespedes, letting Daniel Murphy go, and leaving Cespedes with no protection. So they're doing the same thing to Soto, because the Mets are not better than the Mets don't have a better lineup than the Diamondbacks right now. The Mets don't have a better lineup than the Phillies right now. The Mets don't have a better lineup than the Braves right now. The Mets don't have a better lineup than the Dodgers. We all know that.
Padres.
They don't have a better lineup. They don't have a better lineup than the Padres, and they don't have a better lineup than the Braves. I said the Braves?
Yeah.
So then you have to take the Central team.
You're about to throw
team.
The Brewers in there.
No. You have to put the Central team.
Throw the
team
Cubs in there. Team.
No, throw the Central team because the Central team is going to win the division regardless, and they make the playoffs anyways. So I mentioned five other teams, so the Mets are still going to make the playoffs with Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas, because you let go of Severino, and you don't know if Manaea can give you the same thing.
It's a lot of hope in... Can they do it again? Can Sean Manaea have another year like he had last year? Can David Peterson have another year like he had? Maybe. Can Mark Vientos be a full season of what he was last year?
As Yankee fans, Keith, remember this. Like, me and you were Yankee fans, and I hate to do this to Mets fans because I don't hate the Mets. Majority of my family is Mets fans. Majority of my friends are Mets fans. It's just this is their problem. Hope. It's always hope.
Yeah, us
don't
too.
Give me hope. Us, give me solutions. Too.
Thanks for the call, Andy. Hope week. Hope week continues on the Fan in New York. How many times have I said that about the Yankees? Always hoping. Always hope. Hope this guy comes back. Hope this guy hits. Hope this guy can pitch. Hope is not a strategy. Ooh, didn't Steve Cohen say that? Wasn't that one of Steve Cohen's bars where he punted at the trade deadline and traded everyone away? He said, we have pretty crummy odds. 14%, not good enough. Hope is not a strategy. I'm like, I like that. I'm gonna keep that one. Say that on WFAN. So now what are they doing without Pete Alonso? Now what are they doing without going out to sign a Corbin Burns or a Max Fried or not even a Tanner Scott? There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope. And hope is not a strategy for a team that has to get back to the National League Championship. Riley's in Rockville Center. Hello, Riley.
Hey, Keith, how are you? I spoke to you last Friday. We're heading up to Boston. My 10-year-old son, he wanted to call you.
Oh, remember yes. That call? Danny, what was that his name?
No, my son is Riley. I'm Dan.
Oh, Riley. I talked to somebody called you. I think his son played hockey.
We were going up to Boston. He wanted to call you. We were going up there for a soccer tournament.
Oh, yes, like, I remember now. I recall. Yes.
Yeah, so we're just coming back from basketball. And again, you know, you're on the radio. He's like, let's call Keith McPherson. So he wanted to call you. He wants to say hi, Riley. Say hello.
Hi, Keith.
Young Riles, what's up, man?
Nothing.
So we just wanted... So, you know, we called you about Alonzo last week, and we wanted to follow up again. And I wanted to see, I'm really thinking, Keith, that this Blue Jay thing is a little ploy by Boris. I don't know how serious that is. I keep thinking the Mets are going to get him. That it's just, it doesn't make sense for him to leave. It doesn't make sense for the Mets not to take him. I think the ultimate plan is they're obviously going to make a run at Guerrero, which I don't think they're going to get, because I don't think the Yankees are going to lose Guerrero to the Mets. I can't see something like that happening 2 years in a row. But I really think that this is a Boris play. And I was curious about your thought. I'll hang up and listen. I did just want to give a shout out to my boy Jedwin. Love him, missed him this weekend. But let me know what you think, Keith.
Got it. Riley calling back. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate all the young guys that are in the car with Dad. Appreciate all the young listeners that, like I said, the kids say it's different, that KM to AM. With Pete Alonso and Scott Boris, yeah, they kind of got to play games. They got to make a market. They got to use the media. They got to use these reporters. Let me slow down. They have to make it seem like Pete is going to take another offer elsewhere to potentially force the Mets to come up on their offer. Or, you know, that's just is how the game is played. It's negotiation. I don't know how much validity there is behind the Toronto Blue Jays. None of us know. We're waiting. I keep refreshing Twitter to see what the deal is. But I'll say this about the deal. The difference in what the Mets' final offer for Pete is and what the, let's say, the potential offer is with the Blue Jays, it can't be a couple dollars, man. After you gave $800 million to Juan Soto, you have a $20 billion owner. You cannot lose a face of the franchise, a guy that had a down year that once he gets paid this year is going to bounce back. You can't lose that guy over like $5 million a year or $10 million. Like it can't be. It's got to be a lot. There's got to be a big gap. Like honestly, when we looked at the money between what Juan Soto walked away from the Yankees offer and what he ended up taking with the Mets, I understood it completely. And I tried to break it down. I'm like, there's the signing bonus. There's the opt-outs. There's the escalators. You know, there's the total value. He can make way more money. There's much more money in the deal with the Mets than the Yankees. The Yankees just added another year. And I'm glad they did. Now I'm like, when you think about it and you think about these contracts, and like they would have been saddled with a contract for a player to age 42, 16 years. That's forever. And would we care if the tandem of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge bring one World Series? Yeah. Like one World Series win would make it all worth it. But when you look at the Dodgers, they're not going anywhere. So 888-808-1019, ultimately with this Pete stuff, you cannot lose him over a couple dollars. And Pete and Boris have to try and get an offer from the Blue Jays that I think they could go back to the Mets with. And Steve Cohen, that's when you step in. That's when you tap David on the shoulder and say, hey, David, I got this. Hey, it's not going to change my bottom line. Hope is not a strategy. I have to protect my $800 million investment. Amazing day is Saturday. My fans are calling the fan, talking about this guy nonstop. Are you reading Twitter? The fan base is kind of split. There's a little bit of a civil war over Pete. But we don't want some fans hating us, some fans riding with us. We don't want some fans hating him, because here's the kicker as well. If he does go to Toronto, the Mets open up with Toronto and he's going to come. You can avoid all of that for money. And you have the owner that money doesn't matter the most for it.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, hell yeah. In here watching a Rangers game, they have new life. 3-1 Rangers in the Garden over the Flyers right now. Just when you were ready to write the Rangers off, they come back from the dead. 888-808-1019. So I listened to the Ipe Mizuhara phone call. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, a new development in the Shohei Ohtani case. I just think, like, I don't know. Even going back then, it helped nobody. It didn't help baseball. It didn't help Shohei. It didn't help the Dodgers. For him to be prosecuted, for him to be reprimanded, for him, I just knew he was going to be good. And whatever, you know, he was investigated and cleared of it. So, like, that's what we have to go with and believe. But I remember listening to the way that the money was washed and laundered, and, like, supposedly there was chips brought to a casino. And, you know, I leaned on my little bit of experience being a kid who grew up in the Jersey Shore area, driving down to Atlantic City from age 16 to, like, 26 all the time. And, you know, as you start to make your way around the casino and you start to have a little more money, you start to learn. And they flag stuff quickly. So if somebody's bringing in $500,000 in money, like, I don't know. I had a hard time believing that all of this went under the table. All of this was right under Ohtani's nose, but whatever. You know, The Athletic put out an hour ago, federal prosecutors disclosed an audio recording, which they said showed Ipe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, attempting to push through a $200,000 wire transfer from one of Shohei's accounts. So let's play the audio now that people are running with online, and all you're going to get now that Ipe is sentenced and whatever and Ohtani is cleared, all you're going to get is more things to bury Ipe. You're not going to get anything at this point. They've been working on this for coming up on almost a year, and that's another thing. I woke up to watch the Seoul series, and what I thought was odd and peculiar, this had hit the Dodgers. You think Shohei didn't get wind of this during the Seoul series? And I watched those guys in the dugout talk to each other, laugh with each other, act like nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, I don't know, out of nowhere. And the stories were different. They weren't concurrent. At first, it was he was helping a friend, and then it was, oh, he had no part of it. So, all right, whatever. Play the audio of Shohei Ohtani's interpreter talking to a bank agent trying to wire $200,000 of his money without his knowing.
Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you. How may I help you?
So I tried to log in to online banking, and it told me that it's not available to me at this time, and I need a call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to need the last four digits of your social. I'm going to need to know your date of birth. I'm going to need to know the account number. I'm going to need to know your mom's first pet's name. 888-808-1019. Thomas is in Jamaica. Thomas, you're on the Fan.
Oh, yes. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Thomas.
Oh, yes. I want to talk about the gambling. I read the affidavit like three times, and it's on the internet. You know, the gambling is not the reason that the interpreter hopefully got in trouble. It was because because of bank fraud and stealing money. The gambling wouldn't have been an issue. He used his own money, you know.
No, I know. The gambling is an issue because as baseball fans, rest in peace, you know, we always talk about Pete Rose and how, you know, the Hall of Fame just passed. And
Pete Rose, he bet on baseball. he didn't bet on baseball. Pete Rose, he bet on his team. That's why he got banned.
I thought Pete Rose didn't bet on the Reds. I don't know. Either way, are you saying Ipe didn't bet on baseball at all? I thought that they had.
No. Did you read the affidavit? He did not bet on baseball or on the Angels at the time. So he bet on all sorts of different sports, but not baseball.
Oh, I don't know. I had some different information. I remember, and I don't remember exactly. And I remember reading pieces of the affidavit on Twitter. And I know Twitter's not the best source. But
no, it's on the internet. You go on Google it. I read it three times. If he didn't bet on baseball, what's the issue? Baseball, they advertise and like DraftKings and FanDuel all over.
I was under the impression that he bet specifically on the Angels. I remember reading some stuff about betting on baseball.
No, he didn't bet on baseball. So if he didn't bet on baseball, the gambling wouldn't have been an issue. You know, he was indicted because of stealing money and tax fraud.
That's fraud. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Don't really want to go back down that rabbit hole. Like I said, it's done. Ohtani's not going to get punished for anything. He's not going to pop up with anything. I'm pretty sure that was the whole thing, though, as baseball fans and what they did with Pete Rose. Pete Rose, before he passed, literally had a video that went viral of him saying, if I had an interpreter, I would have got away with it. 888-808-1019. You know, I just, you know, it's a new development here. I could go back to my notes from then, but I'm pretty sure, and like, I don't know. There was a thread that matched up, like, specific days and, like, Ohtani coming out of a game or Ohtani having a bad game and bets that were placed. And supposedly there was a Japanese bookie, a sports bookie, and a sports book. But whatever. It doesn't matter. Ipe is in jail. Ohtani is playing for the Dodgers. Ohtani is a world champion. And Roky Suzuki just joined him. And so did Blake Snell and Tanner Scott and Michael Conforto and Kirby Yates. And who else am I forgetting? No, Teoscar Hernandez came back, and we need to figure out how the Mets can get better so they could potentially defeat them, and how the Yankees can get better so if they meet them in the World Series, they don't suffer the same fate in back-to-back years. In Garden City, Anthony, you're on the Fan. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Okay.
I was trying to figure out what that guy was talking about just now about the Ohtani thing. I couldn't understand that, but anyway, as a Yankees fan, I was a little disappointed that they didn't bring in Alonso when they had the opportunity, and I know they brought Goldschmidt in now, but it's just something doesn't sit right with me as like a big Pete Alonso like supporter. Like, why not bring this homegrown guy back to the Mets? You bought Soto in. It's like maybe it's not about the money. Maybe there's something underlying that nobody's picking up on. You know, he seems like a nice guy. Like, it's hard not to be a fan of his, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about a bunch of different things. We've talked about the locker room or the clubhouse, rather. We've talked about Juan Soto and now, like, family business. This is a family vibe. And it's like, well, Pete's been a part of the family. You haven't even stepped into the batter's box.
Right.
There could be some underlying things, but it doesn't have to be underlying. I think it's obvious. David Stearns is crafting this team and putting this team together for the future and for, you know, the present. And he doesn't want to pay Pete Alonso for multiple years. And Pete Alonso doesn't have a market where they have to pay him $30 million, $40 million a year. And it's as simple as that. And he's not going to bid against himself, and he's not going to overextend for Pete Alonso. It's business. It's not personal. He has no feelings towards it. He said he grew up a Mets fan, but I don't think he grew up a Pete Alonso fan.
Yeah, I guess I thought at some point that Pete would have just took less money to come back. And I guess, yeah, it's all about the money. But I mean, the problem is as like I said, as a Yankees fan and hoping that they had a shot at him. I mean, I wish I had somewhere to put him because honestly, you can't put him anywhere with Stanton and DH and now Goldschmidt there. But I mean, that would have been awesome to see him in pinstripes and just, you know, ride that wave. You know what I mean?
Thanks for the call, Ant. Yeah, I was never really interested in it. I know there were Yankee fans that were scarred from the Juan Soto news, and they were like, this is how we get him back. We got to sign Pete. And I'm like, Cashman's not interested in Pete Alonso. Definitely not giving him a multi-year deal. They have signed Paul Goldschmidt to a one-year deal, and I think Paul Goldschmidt can turn back the clock and maybe have close to Pete Alonso's production this year. And I think they're fine with that because they have eyes on maybe Munetaka Murakami coming over from Japan, who there were reports that, you know, this guy liked the Yankees and wanted to be with the Yankees. But now it's hard to believe that anybody's coming from this Japanese World Baseball Classic team that won 2 years ago and they're going anywhere but the Dodgers. Why would they? Frank in White Plains. What's up, Frank? You're on the Fan.
Keith, thank you very much for taking my call. I agree with you about the Pete Rose. I'm an older man, and I remember him playing. You're a young man, but I tell you, he was the best. He was a good baseball player.
Oh yeah, Charlie.
And
Hustle.
Now to talk about him, that's a nonsense. You know that caller, he bringing that out. Anyway.
I mean, I don't know. But I just got a text. Shout out to Ryan. Rose said he bet on his team only to always win. I don't know. I thought like he didn't bet on us, but whatever. None of it matters. Rest in peace to Pete Rose. He's
none of them matters. None of them matters to me anyway.
Right.
But as far as Pete Alonso goes, something troubled me about the general manager of the Mets. What's his name now?
David Stearns.
David Stearns. He's I don't know. Does he want him? I don't know. I know something's buzzing me that he don't want him, you know.
No, if he wanted him, he worked with Scott Boras on the Juan Soto deal. They had plenty of time to meet in the middle somewhere.
Exactly, Keith. You know, you see what happened is now this guy had a down year, all right, last year, but 34 home runs, almost 90 RBI, and also Method not going to the play Dodgers or anybody else in National League if doesn't hit that three-run home run against Milwaukee. So they have to consider all that kind of stuff. I don't know what the heck they're doing.
I don't think David Stern's business model does. I think he looks at the overall season, and there are Mets fans that'll tell you Pete was not clutch. I don't agree with that because I saw him hit one of the most clutch home runs of all time. But there are Mets fans that'll tell you during the season he hit meaningless home runs. When we needed him, he was striking out, popping out. He was not clutch.
But Yankees and Dodgers, they will go to World Series again, Keith. Okay? Mets, they are not passing Atlanta. I'm not going to go to every National League team like the guy before, but they're not going to even pass Atlanta and Philadelphia. Even they have a sort of now. Because David Stern got all this. I don't mean to insult the players, you know, anybody out there. But this, he got old patches after Soto. He got nothing. He never signed anybody.
Lindor. You have Brandon Nimmo. You hope Francisco Alvarez takes a step forward. Mark Vientos. They don't have zero talent. But it's just but when you
remember what you said before, Keith. You said before, maybe. That's the problem, you know.
Yeah, it's maybe. Hope. It's a lot of hope. There's a lot of maybes.
A lot of hope.
Yeah,
hope,
a lot of
maybe.
A lot of maybes, and hope is not a strategy. Thanks for the call, Frank. 888-808-1019. We can't act like they're bums. They did go to the NLCS, but what I always say the caveat is we leave out that they were the last seed in. We leave out that they had nine lives. We leave out that they needed heroics. And baseball is not so kind. To think that they can do that again, it's not done back-to-back years. You don't have a Miracle Mets team back-to-back years. You don't go on magic carpet rides back-to-back years. The Mets don't even go to the postseason back-to-back years. So I would think you would try to shore things up even more, especially looking at your own division, your own league, and how stacked some of the teams you're going to be facing are. There was a different kind of energy, whether you believe it was Grimace, whether you believe it was Jose Iglesias coming up with a hit single, whether you believe it was Lindor turning into a captain-like MVP-type player. It's just hard to think that they can recreate that next year or this year now. And I give Juan Soto a ton of credit. He is a ridiculous baseball player, but he can't do it on his own. If he could have done it on his own, he would have powered the Yankees to the World Series. Dave is in Jackson, New Jersey. You got it, Dave. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, as a Yankee fan, I was curious why the Yankees are so
Say that again? I think we got a bad line, David. He hung up. Anyway, Juan Soto is going to win you some games. I've said this a bunch, just from watching him as a Yankee. What I loved about Juan Soto, if he has a bad game where he strikes out multiple times and he doesn't affect the game with his bat, he almost never does it twice. Now, he'll slump, yeah, but like he'll get his walks. He'll hit a single. He almost never has back-to-back bad games. And what I saw and what I even heard, whether it was Meredith reporting on the YES Network or me with my own eyes, he would show up to batting practice a little bit earlier, get some extra swings in. He would have a different look in his eye the day after not having a good performance. Never back-to-back bad days. Against the White Sox, the Yankees lost to the White Sox that first game. Soto didn't do anything in that game. Came back the next day. He had three homers. It was so obvious. He's like, I'm going to will us to win. He's going to be able to do that for the Mets. He's in his prime. He's 26 years old. But like, he also did that with Judge batting behind him. And he can't do it alone. In baseball, no one can do it alone. It's not that kind of sport at all. It's not the NBA. It's not even football where you could have just the quarterback that can dominate. Like, you need a full-on team. You need a full lineup. They're going to pitch around him. They're going to walk him. They're going to easily walk him. That's why, to me, overextending a little bit for Pete Alonso, keeping Pete Alonso in this lineup, keeping him happy, makes sense. but it goes against the principles that David Stearns is leaning on. And I don't know. I don't know if Pete gets announced tonight that he's with the Toronto Blue Jays and it's for a couple million dollars, some fans are going to be upset because they're going to be like, we could easily have afforded that. John is in Neskonset. John, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Before I get to my 2 points, I want to say, one, I think you are the best individual host on the Fan.
Thank
two,
you.
Your tagline, how about changing that up a little bit? Instead of, KM till the AM, how about talking smack with K-Mac? Just a thought.
might be a new one for 2025. I didn't even come up with KM to AM. There was a fan very early on that came up with that on Twitter, and I ran with it, talking smack with K-Mac. I don't want people to, they're going to be like, talking smack, I hate this guy.
So on the Jets, I'm kind of happy that they hired Aaron Glenn, but as a near 60-year fan of the Jets, I don't have a lot of faith that they'll complete the good moves.
They got to show you. I have friends that are Jets fans. They're like, this is cool and all, but I'll believe it when I see it. I understand that.
Yeah. And I like Aaron Glenn. I wish him a lot of luck. Hope he shows up great and pulls off some good wins for us. With the Pete Alonso thing, I really think that they're trying to split too many hairs with signing him. We need protection for Soto, and I'm sorry, but Nimmo's not the answer to that. Pete can be the answer to that, and I think something like a four-year deal for, say, 105 with a fifth-year team option and give Pete an opt-out after the second year would be good for all parties. And that would give us the protection, probably keep Pete happy, make the fans happy.
John, I guarantee you they explored all of these type of things. It's not a long-term deal. And like I've said, that Juan Soto deal is masterful when you think about the bonuses for if he's MVP or MVP runner-up, how they have opt-outs and they can raise the AAV. Stearns helped Cohen put that contract together. It ain't hard to put together a contract for Pete. They don't want to.
Which is amazing because he's a key cog and has been since he's been here. So it's a shame.
They're ready to move on. Thanks for the call, John. Talking smack with K-Mac. We'll be right back. Just kidding. Don't hit the... Alex is about to hit the button. We do have to go to a break, though. something that I've done in these five-hour KM to AMs is a big shot of the night at 11 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock goes into open mic. And that's probably the only actual segment I have, but this week in some of the shows after Rutgers basketball and after the Nets, I started playing around with, some radio segments. One was Make It About Yourself, where a story will come along Al Golden leaving Notre Dame and getting the job as the defensive coordinator with the Cincinnati Bengals. I was able to tell a story about Al Groh recruiting me in high school, coming to my school on National Signing Day, offering me as the head coach at Temple, and then also, That's one segment. Make It About Yourself. We'll do that later on. But when we come back, I have another segment called What Came Across My Desk. Something random that I saw on the internet that hasn't hit WFAN, at least for me listening today. And I'll throw it out there for you. I'll give you my thoughts and take on it. So coming up after this break, what came across my desk? Something that when I was scrolling and sitting at my desk going through emails, going through Twitter, I'm like, oh, let me put this in my notes.